Good morning, everybody. Happy New Year. This is Encuentro. Let's begin with the prayer of St. Francis. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, make me a means of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, let me bring joy. Divine Master, grant that I may seek not so much to be consoled, but to console. Not so much to be understood, but to understand. So much to be loved, but to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in forgiving that we are forgiven. And it is in dying to ourselves so we are born to eternal life. Amen. Well, it is 1st of January. It is currently 6:42 in the morning. It's a long night, you know, having fun and just having a great time with family. Happy New Year to all of you. It's a brand new year. It's a clean slate. It's a great way to, you know, begin the year with fresh hopes and great expectations of ourselves, of life, but also, tremendous desire for hopefully something good, something better for this year. If you're hearing roosters crowing and dogs barking, it's because I'm out here in the countryside and I'm totally enjoying it. I grew up in the city. I was born and raised in the city and I never liked cities. The countryside is the place to be. You know, there's so much nature. It's so nice out here. And I'm here with my family, so everything seems perfect. Today is New Year's Day. It is also the solemnity of the Mother of God. Our reading for today is taken from... Yeah, bear with me here. I'm still a little sleepy. Gospel reading is taken from St. Luke. Chapter 2, verses 16 to 21. I just absolutely love hearing the roosters crowing. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made it known the saying which had been told them concerning this child. And all heard it, wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary kept all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, the child was circumcised. He was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Oh, listen to all that sound out there. Perfect. You know, a few years ago, I was assigned to be the disciplinarian, the students here at the seminary in the Philippines. You know, back then, students were not allowed to have cell phones while seminary was in session. They could get their cell phones when they go out or they go home on a weekend, but during class hours, you know, they weren't allowed to have their phones, and they especially were not allowed to have their phones during masses and liturgical activities. Well, one day, I happened to be presiding at mass, and as I was preaching, a phone rang, and so I got a little annoyed because I figured, you know, hey, you know, I prepared for this homily and, you know, now a phone is ringing and I'm so distracted. So in the middle of my homily, as the phone was ringing, I just said, whose phone is that? Of course, there was no reply. So I paused briefly and I said, hey, look, you guys, we've had this arrangement for a number of months now and it's worked quite well. I mean, if you need your phone, you just have to tell me that you need your phone and I'll give it to you. But you're not supposed to be carrying it around with you, especially not if it's on during mass or classes. So whose phone is that? Okay? Whose phone is that? By then, the phone had stopped ringing, but I still hadn't resumed my preaching as I was waiting for somebody to, you know, come forward and own up to the whole thing. And finally, I kind of issued a threat. I said, listen, unless someone tells me whose phone that was ringing, I'm not going to let you guys go home this coming weekend. You know, suddenly, I noticed a hand go up in the among the seminarians, and I thought to myself, so I looked at this young kid and I said, is that phone yours? And of course, he says to me, he just looks at me and says, Father, I think that phone might be yours. I reached into my pocket and to my surprise and to my horror, the phone, in fact, was mine. Okay? It was probably one of my most embarrassing moments. Yeah, the phone, which I would ordinarily never take with me when I have mass, was right there in my pocket, you know, during my homily. It had no vibrate function back then. The phones back then were primitive. This was in the 90s. And why I didn't realize sooner it was my phone, I just don't know. And why I was so quick to accuse my own students of not handing over their phones to me, I also do not know. It was perhaps a mixture of a lot of things, you know, being focused on the homily I was preaching, my ears not functioning well that early in the morning. And perhaps it was something else, something far less kind. Perhaps it was because in my mind, you know, only one scenario was possible, and I was unconsciously convinced of it. A phone was ringing at Mass could only belong to a student, never a priest, especially not the one presiding, and especially not me. You know, it was the sole perspective that directed my conclusion that morning. But it was wrong. You know, we all have ways of seeing things, ways of understanding and of doing things. You know, philosophers have sometimes used the more technical term modes of understanding to refer to this. They're ways by which we make sense of things, our interactions, our relationships, and our life as a whole. You know, these ways of seeing things assist us in our day-to-day life. They're habits of mind, of heart, and of soul. And in themselves, they're neither good nor bad. They just are. You know, the problem with these ways of understanding, however, is that too often they become hardened. Every once in a while, these aids, okay, that make sense of our world cease to become aids and helpers to us. They become instead hindrances. They become blinders that prevent us from seeing that there are other possible ways of seeing and thinking and feeling and doing. That there are other paths that we may not have considered, you know. And so what used to be an aid to life, you know, to living life, suddenly becomes a stubborn, rigid, and inflexible definition of life. You know, when that happens, we become hardened, inflexible, or as Pope Francis says, rigid, you know, and stubborn. Been there, done that. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. We say that. Or we just say, I know, all the time. These are some of the ways by which our stubbornness is sometimes expressed. Of course, stubbornness is not always bad. A lot of times it actually works to our advantage. You know, think of being tenacious and, you know, and sticking to something that we have to do, okay? So it's not really stubbornness per se that is bad, you know. Stubbornness can actually help. It's what's called obstinacy. You know, it's not hardness of mind, it's hardness of heart, okay? And the belief that our way is always the best way and our way of seeing things is always the best way of seeing things. You can see there's a road down there, and that's pretty loud. There's vehicles passing by. Anyway, in the life of the soul, yeah, obstinacy, which is hardness of heart, poses one of the greatest hindrances not only to growth, but to our receptivity to God's grace, to God's voice. You know, there are three important characters in today's gospel, yeah? Mary, the shepherds, and of course, as always, he's very quiet, Saint Joseph. Now imagine if each of them held on to their set ways of seeing and understanding things, you know, if they had insisted on their way of understanding. Now imagine if Mary said to Gabriel, I'm a virgin, I'm not married. I've had no relations with a man. What would other people say if I suddenly became pregnant? Who would believe that I am bearing the Son of God? I can't accept your word. I have my reputation to protect. I'm sorry, but the answer is no. Imagine if Mary said that to Gabriel. Or imagine if Joseph said, I can't accept Mary or her child. I've never had relations with her. How do I know that she didn't simply cheat on me? Sure, I'd love to have a child carry my name, but I want it to be my own. Not a child with uncertain origins. What would other people say? I have my reputation to protect. Besides, it simply wouldn't feel right taking care of someone else's child. So, I'm sorry, but the answer is no. Imagine if Joseph said that. Finally, imagine if the shepherd said to the angel, all the ancient prophecies have pointed to a strong and powerful king that would come and save Israel from its enemies. Every single one of them has prophesied the coming of a mighty king. And you're asking us to go and pay homage to an infant in a manger? You want us to believe, against everything we have been taught, that this infant, this child born of poor parents, is the king of Israel? That's too hard to believe and accept. That's not possible. So I'm sorry, or we're sorry. The answer is no. We won't go. You know, deep inside, I think that that's what was going on as I was preaching at that mass. You know, deep inside, this train of thought was running through my head. You expect me to believe that I, a priest, who has always been most conscientious about things, would neglect to turn off my phone during mass? You expect me to believe that my students were often careless in class and in other things, and I would sometimes hide the truth to get away with things, that they wouldn't be the ones guilty of leaving their phones on during mass? Sorry. You know, that goes against everything I'm used to. So, no. Maybe that was a train of thought that was going on in my head. You know, sometimes obstinacy runs subtly, but it runs deep. You know, we have before us a brand new year, a fresh start, a clean slate, one that's ready to be written on, ready to be filled with God's graces, gifts, and blessings. It's something that's not only truly possible, that's only truly possible if we are ready to to receive them, to be open to them. One of the things I've learned from my close to 2 decades of teaching is that some of the most difficult students to teach and form are not the average or weak students. You know, these, when they are willing to put in the extra effort and energy, can actually be a joy to teach. The most difficult ones to teach are those who believe that they know everything and have therefore very little else to learn. You know, what is true of education is true of all life, especially the spiritual life. You know, only a glass that is empty can be filled, and only a mind that is ready can be taught, and only a spirit and heart and soul that has ceased to be rigid, stubborn, and inflexible, but has instead become open to the many new and amazing ways and things that God stands ready to reveal. Only that can truly receive God's gifts, graces, and blessings. A new year is before us, a wide open door, a fresh start, a clean and clear slate. Let us keep our hearts, minds, and souls ready this year. Empty ourselves of whatever preconceived notions we may have, but to be open and ready to be filled by a God who waits eagerly for us to welcome all the great and amazing things He has in store for us this year. With Mary, whose feast, as the Mother of God, we celebrate today, let us proclaim, as she did when Gabriel visited her for the very first time, I am the servant of the Lord, she said. Let it be done to me according to your word.